WTTS On Demand.
92.3 WTTS, I'm Craig Shank with Pat of Wilco. They're kicking off their tour in Indianapolis this week and releasing their album, The Whole Love, on the 27th. First of all, Pat, congratulations on the new album. We're really looking forward to hearing more from it.
Great, well, thanks.
At this point in the band's evolution and career, where do you begin planning a new album and how do you start thinking about the recording process?
Well, we basically start thinking about it just by putting some dates on a calendar and saying, okay, that's when we're going to start. We just kind of like get ourselves all together in the, you know, in the studio, our studio in Chicago, because we, you know, we're a couple of the members of the band live outside of Chicago. Four of us actually live in town, but everyone's sort of, when we're not on tour or we're not in the studio, everyone is pretty scattered and pretty busy doing other things. You know, we all have other projects that we're involved in outside of Wilco when Wilco's not working. So it does take some effort just to get us in the same place.
You mentioned that the process basically just involves getting a date down and deciding on that. Do you like working with a blank slate, or do you ever bring some unfinished material from previous albums to the studio to try to finish up?
Yeah, well, there's a song on this new album that I think is a song that goes back for Jeff, that goes back to the Being There sessions. A song that just I think it's a song. It's called Capital City, and it's a song that I think he's sort of brought up at every, you know, at sessions for every record they've made since then, but it just hasn't fit in, or for whatever reason it just didn't spark. But this time it seemed to work, and we did a good version of it. So that's one example of a song that's kind of been hanging around for a while that finally found its home. But most of the material on the new record is stuff that's new, and came from recent inspirations.
And are you finding that over time it's getting easier to record albums as you get more under your belt, or is each album a new set of challenges that the previous experiences may not actually prepare you to handle?
Well, I think this record was probably a little more challenging because we decided we wanted to make a record that was more challenging. You know, the last couple of records were very proud of them, and they were very enjoyable to make, and you always get tested a little bit, I think, every time you make a record in some capacity. But I think this time we wanted to do something that maybe wasn't quite as much in our comfort zone as the last couple of records. We wanted to do some things where we had to really dig in and figure some stuff out and push ourselves and surprise ourselves. And I think that's what we did, you know. And I think, you know, I think we're all excited about the result because of that. You know, and there were several instances, I think, on this new record where we sort of surprised ourselves.
And what do you think you're most proud of with this new album?
Well, I'm really proud of it. I spent a lot of time in the studio on this one, co-producing the record with Jeff and Tom. And so I was kind of knee deep in the details, which is what I love to do. And I'm just really proud of kind of the wide scope of this one and the sort of full rangeness of its sound and the collection of colors and moods that we were able to sort of fit into this various styles of songs and into one thematic thread. And I'm just kind of proud of the whole thing. A song like Art of Almost that opens the record was a real production and a real, you know, sort of studio exercise, and I'm really proud of the way that came out. And Black Moon, I got to do some string arranging for the track Black Moon, and that's something I love to do. I love to write for strings and to hear real strings playback and arrangement is a real thrill. And so I'm really proud of the way that turned out.
Yeah, and you mentioned just a second ago some of the other projects that you guys are involved with, and you get to flex your muscles a little bit on the Autumn Defense as well. How do you make time for those projects, and how do you end up approaching those when you're kind of devoting a lot of time to recording and touring with Wilco?
Well, you just kind of squeeze it in there wherever you have some time, and that's one of the great things about the situation with Wilco is that even though we work really hard when we're working, there is a sufficient amount of downtime to be able to do other projects, and I think that keeps everybody really fresh and keeps everybody keeps everybody's creativity boiling and moving, and I think it's a big help, and one of the reasons why we're able to do what we do. But yeah, we've been off the road doing any serious touring for almost a year. So that year was filled with making the Wilco record and also my other project, The Autumn Defense, with John. We did some touring, and we put our record out at the end of last year. Whenever we do have some downtime, I think all of us tend to be kind of workaholics. We all fill our calendars with other things to do.
It's 92.3 WTTS. I'm Craig Shank with Pat from Wilco. They're kicking off their tour in Indianapolis this week. And speaking of the tour, on the website, you have a fan video project that you launched. What are the plans for the fan video submissions?
I think the concept is to get people to film in different cities around the country and where we're going to be playing to film their cities. And then we're going to be doing some projecting of those videos behind us when we play those places. There might be some more interesting ins and outs to the concept, but I think that's the general concept, is just getting our fans involved in the audiovisual part of our show.
You've actually visited Indiana a number of times over the years, both Bloomington and Indianapolis. Do you have any favorite memories or places to visit while you're in the state, if you actually have any time off on the road?
We are here today for just a rehearsal, so maybe there might be some time to do some exploring before our show. I think Glenn was talking earlier today that I believe there's a Museum of the Percussion Arts in Indianapolis. So I think we're going to go and check that out in the morning. And I've been to Bloomington a couple of times, and that's always fun. I've always kind of enjoyed the vibe there.
And you mentioned the rehearsal that's going on today. What's the process for Wilco for preparing to go out on tour? Does it take a few weeks to prepare a set?
Yeah, we don't really do a lot of rehearsing. We spent so much time on the road that unless we have a bunch of new songs like we do now, we don't really do a whole lot of rehearsing. But today is going to be our sort of, full rehearsal day, where we just kind of start digging into some of the songs from the new record that we've never played before. But we have a couple of weeks before the record comes out, so we're going to be using our sound checks over the next couple of weeks to really get a handle on that material, so that when the record comes out, we can play it with some confidence.
Right. I imagine adapting the new material to a live setting is going to take a little bit of time. So working that out, do you think there might be any difficulties or changes that you might want to make to make the songs maybe sound different in the live setting, or something that might work a little better than it would on the album?
You know, I can probably give you a better answer to that in a couple of days when we've actually attempted to play some of these songs. So we were on the way here today, we were just having a kind of a discussion in the bus about that very thing, sort of trying to map out, especially on a song like, there's a song called Art of Almost on the new record that has a lot of things going on in the recording, a lot of sounds and parts, and so we were just kind of talking today about what are we going to be able to do, what are we going to have to leave out, can we do it all? So I think that's the purpose of our rehearsal today, is to figure out that very thing.
We've been talking about the new songs in the live setting, but the older material from Wilco seems to take on a new life in the live setting. Do you make conscious choices about adjusting those songs as well, or do they naturally change over time after performing them so often over the years?
I think it just kind of happens naturally with a lot of our older material. This lineup is a completely different band than the band that first performed and recorded those songs. Just by default, there's going to be some differences and some reinterpretations of parts, and But I think also just over time, you know, like it's a very common thing for not just for us, but for most performers that, you know, a lot of times the first time, you know, a lot of times some of the first times you perform a particular song is when you're in the studio recording it or creating it. And then you go out and you play it for a year. And over that, you know, over the course of that time, you start to learn things about the song that you didn't necessarily know when you first recorded it, or you start to grow into the song in a different way, and it kind of takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, it seems kind of like a living thing on its own. Do you ever find that it's odd hearing a recorded version of one of your songs after playing them live each night?
Very, very much. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. I mean, there's been a lot of instances of maybe being on the road and, you know, walking into a coffee shop somewhere to get a cup of coffee, and then you know there's some Wilco playing on the stereo, and you don't recognize it at first. It's like, who is this? And then you go, oh yeah, that's us. It's like that's that song we've been playing every night, and but it sounds like a completely different band.
Yeah, and let's hope that you actually like it when you hear it in that environment too.
Usually you do.
So in the past, you've had a couple of gigs with iconic figures such as Neil Young, and on this tour, you've got Nick Lowe opening up some shows. And even though you've played plenty of shows over the years with a number of different artists, do performances with some musicians feel a little bit different for the band, or do you just get used to having your name on the same marquee as people like that?
Well, with people like Neil Young or Nick Lowe, we opened for the Rolling Stones once, and I don't think you get used to that. I mean, there's no way to not be excited about getting to play with these people whose work has influenced you. And I mean, I've certainly been a fan of Neil Young and Nick Lowe for years, you know, and there's just no way to not still feel like a fan when you're around those people.
And do you have a different way of preparing for those shows or approaching them?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think we really can get into that kind of thinking. I think we just have to do what we do. And we're lucky that occasionally we get to cross paths with these other, you know, these greats that are also doing what they do. It's pretty lucky.
Recently, in an issue of Spin, Jeff Tweedy had some comments about the upcoming 20th anniversary of Nirvana's Nevermind and the kind of nature of the production of that album. And he said that it had a slick, almost Whitney Houston-like sound on the record. And given your background in recording and as a studio musician, do you have any particular thoughts on that album or that style of production?
Well, I don't really want to comment on his comment. But I don't know. I mean, I think that's a cool record. I mean, I remember hearing, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit for the first time when it came on the college radio station when I was in college. And it definitely was a tune where I remember hearing it thinking, okay, that's going to be a hit. You know, you could just kind of tell. And, you know, yeah, it's definitely a pop production. I don't think there's anything intrinsically wrong with that, you know. It's kind of an undeniably catchy song.
Do you often find that your ears are tuned to different sounds and styles than your bandmates, or do you all kind of agree on the same kinds of things?
I think we do. There is a common ground. There's certainly a place where we all connect. But it's interesting, you know, like John likes to describe it this way, and I think he's right. There's a certain kind of symmetry in that, like John and I are sort of can sort of like represent the more like traditionalist attitude within the band, whereas Nels Klein and Lynn Cochy come from a little bit, you know, come from a more sort of, you know, a little bit more avant-garde kind of approach in a lot of the music that they're involved in. And Jeff is kind of in the middle, taking from both attitudes, and you know, to kind of help create this one stew of stuff. But that being said, it's really not so extreme as that. I mean, everyone in the band likes all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, the great thing about Nels Klein is like one of the great things about him is that it's as freaky as a, you know. And, you know, he can go into outer space with the sounds and what he does with the guitar, but he also really loves the birds. You know, he loves to just kind of, he, you know, he can, he also has an appreciation for things that are simple. And that's pretty cool when you can get six musicians together like this that have such wide range, you know, such a wide range of tastes, and to be able to be able to sort of draw upon them all. And I think we all feel like this record is really the first record that this lineup has made that really showcases that, that very thing.
You mentioned that it's this lineup of the band. You actually officially joined up with Wilco in 2004. Could you just briefly fill us in on the events that led you to joining the band full time?
I had been, you know, I've been making records with John, the bass player, John Stewart, as the Autumn Defense. We've been making those records since 1999. And so, you know, I was already kind of part of the extended family. You know, I'd spent time in the studio with Jeff and also with Glenn, and they had guested on some Autumn Defense tracks, and I had kind of hung around some Wilco sessions. And so, you know, I wasn't at all a stranger to the family. You know, I think when Jeff decided to sort of kind of change the lineup when Leroy left and wanted to do something new with the band, I was kind of already there, so I kind of just got absorbed into it. And my memory is that, because the Autumn Defense was on tour at the time, that Jeff and Glenn came to the Autumn Defense show in Chicago and came backstage, and before we went on stage that night, asked me if I wanted to join up. And I thought about it for a day or two, and gave him a big yes.
It's 92.3 WTTS. I'm Craig Shank with Pat from Wilco. We're really looking forward to seeing you at the Murat Theater at Old National Center, and we wish you all the best with the new album and the tour. And thanks so much for taking a minute to talk to us today, Pat.
Thank you. My pleasure.
WTTS. On demand.